Hi everyone, it's Kevin G, the best thing since metal. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back nutritionist Claire Thomas about winter and spring seasons and nutrition. Claire, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Gavin.
Pleasure. How's your week been?
Good. I am very much enjoying the sunshine. It is so lovely to get out the longer days. I've just been out for a walk on the canal because I live near a canal and it's just, oh, I'm loving it.
Oh, the canal must be beautiful, especially with the sunshine hitting it off it, isn't it? That kind of thing.
Yes. You know?
Oh, just for the listener, we were just actually talking, before we started recording, we were talking about the sunshine and how the day's getting longer and it's so much better to be that way.
It is.
Claire, remind us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are. I think that'd be brilliant. Yeah.
So I was a children's nurse in the NHS when I developed chronic fatigue syndrome. I was told I wouldn't recover. I sort of had to just live with it and get on with it. And my career, as I knew it, was over. So at that point, I was in a children's intensive care nurse. And anyone who knows me knows that I am a bit stubborn or determined is probably a better word of saying it. And in the midst of sort of figuring out, well, what's next? I was given a book that looked at nutrition, mindset, and looking at that from a faith perspective, because I'm a Christian. And I put things into place. And bit by bit, I saw my health improve. It was a very long time before I could say that I was recovered. And there was lots. It was quite a multifaceted recovery process. But within that time, so it took about 6 or 7 years before I could say I'm recovered. But in that time, there was a real spark to want to support and empower other individuals like myself to know that there was a way forward, that there was hope, that there wasn't just a case of being sat in a GB surgery and just didn't know what to do next. And then in 2019, I had a real sense I needed to leave the NHS. And around that same time, I learned what a nutritional therapist was. And for me, it was exactly what I wanted to do because it was nutrition, lifestyle, and mindset. And the course that I did in the end allowed me to become an NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, which NLP was really beneficial in my own sort of recovery. And so, yeah, I jumped ship 6 months before COVID, which for me actually was a blessing in disguise because the sort of trigger for chronic fatigue for me was swine flu, and swine flu and chronic fatigue are very interlinked. So it meant I was sort of out the way. And so I did a 3-year course, retrained over 3 years, and then graduated as a nutritional therapist in 2022. And now my focus is empowering individuals to increase their energy levels and resilience so they can do more of what they love.
That's fantastic. And you said, because of the condition, you use NLP, neuro-linguistic
yes.
programming. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about how you used it and how you overcame your condition with that?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say I overcame the condition using NLP. However, it is a really good tool. So for me, what was good about it was the whole, it's almost stopping thoughts in their track. And so, for example, I think when you, say, wake up in the morning and there's lots of fatigue, and perhaps you've been feeling okay, but you then sort of hit that, like, I've got brain fog, I feel fatigued. You can start to get into that cycle. Well, that means because I feel like this today, that means the whole week's out, or I can't do this. And then you sort of spiral. And that's quite, you know, that's quite normal because we have associations in our thought processes. But by able to kind of almost going, nope, I'm going to stop that thought process. I'm going to, you know, just say, look, it's just for today. I can rest and just reframe the thoughts to go, actually, I'm going to allow myself to rest today because that's what my body needs. And then tomorrow is a new day. And it's almost like you're almost stopping that spiraling so that you can almost bring it back into the present moment and go, no, this will pass. It's passed before. I can move forward. And so I think it's a lot of that. It's a lot of the ability to reframe, to remember the times that you have been okay, and that it's not always going to be because some of chronic fatigue syndrome is about having a lot of stress in your body, and so some of managing that stress is helped through using things like NLP and reframing and just recognizing that this is just a moment in time. And this doesn't mean that my whole week's out, for example.
Right. Okay. It's brilliant to hear that how NLP helped basically with the condition. Yeah. Why do some people struggle with low energy? Because, I mean, we're going to be talking about nutrition and the season periods and that kind of, you know, it's winter into spring and that kind of thing. Why do some people struggle with low energy even as the days get longer?
Yeah, I think this is a really good question. I think as we move into spring, I think there's this automatic assumption that, oh, it's sunshine, I'm going to feel so much better, but I don't. Now, there could be many reasons for that. And one thing that is always worth, I always think is worth investigating, is your vitamin D levels. So obviously in winter, generally speaking, we're not getting enough vitamin D. The government actually recommends that we supplement from September to March anyway, because, you know, so depending on how much you've been away or how much you've topped up or even how much you're able to convert and use in your body, if that's got low, that can be a reason that you're feeling more exhausted. It could be that you've got other nutritional deficiencies like iron and magnesium, which are all great, and B12, you know, your B vitamins, which are great for energy. So in winter, I think sometimes we can get used to eating a lot more comfort food because it's dark and it's wet and it's cold.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, Claire. I totally get that.
completely. But as you do that, you might not be eating the nutrients your body needs. And so that could be sort of one thing, that we're not sort of out of that sort of comfort hibernation stage. It does take a while, I think, to come out of it.
I totally agree with you. Because, you know, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this last time, but you've got Christmas, the build-up to Christmas, which is huge. It's a lovely thing going on. And then January and February is a bit like, oh, gosh. February tends to improve. I think January, though, is the pits, I'll be honest with you. February starts to get a bit more, and then March hits, and then the days get longer and that kind of thing. And coming out of that kind of winter season, that kind of feeling, it can take time, isn't it? It's not, it's not overnight. It's just because lack of sunlight, it all catches up.
It does all catch up. And especially if you've had a particularly stressful winter. I've heard a lot of people, like last year was particularly tough for a lot of people that I've spoken to, not everyone. So if you think about it, you know, we kind of get through Christmas because that's, for most, you know, most people, it's a reasonably like, yes, this is a good thing, good time. Hit January, and then actually the stress can increase. And so we actually need to take time to acknowledge that we might just be a little bit frazzled from everything that was kind of been happening over the last few months. And that also takes time to kind of reset and calm our bodies down and sort of enter the new season as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think that period, you know, if you're someone that's got some, you know, challenges or troubles in life, I mean, you know, we've all got something going on. Christmas, that time build up to Christmas, and Christmas tends to kind of be like, right, you know what? We're going to put that to the side for the moment and spend time with family, friends, you know, get together and that kind of thing. And I think January comes, and it's not for everybody, but some people might experience this. January comes and it's like, oh, okay, right, I've got to refocus now. I've got to get back to things and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think we also, I do see a lot of people putting pressure on themselves in January, you know, with goals. And I've got to, you know, I've got to set goals. I've got New Year's resolutions. And then, you know, towards the end of January, maybe February, fallen off the wagon. And then there's an element of, oh, look at me, I'm rubbish, a bit of shame. And actually it's like, no, perhaps you just started at the wrong time of year. You know, I find this time of year is probably much easier to set goals, especially health and wellness goals, because in the middle of winter, you're in, as we've just mentioned, that hibernation mode, that I just want to hunker down. And actually, if you just think of it from a season's point of view, in winter, you know, the leaves off the have gone off the tree, the bulbs are sort of underground hibernating, everything is sort of dampened down. And so it's okay that our bodies want to like have a slower pace of life, not trying to ramp up and go, right, come on now, let's try and run a marathon this year sort of thing. So I think sometimes it's like, maybe we just need to set more realistic goals as well.
Absolutely. You touched on some good points. Maybe our New Year's resolutions should be in March.
Yes.
I reckon so. Yeah, because you're right, and you're absolutely spot on. I think I've spoken to people where they, you know, they put pressure on themselves. They're like, right, I've got to do this, and I'm guilty for doing it as well. You know, thinking, right, I'm going to do this, and then you're already going through the whole the mood phase during January, and then you put this pressure on yourself. It's not going to help.
It's not going to help. And you know, even simple things like right now, what was it the other day? I had a really busy day at work. And was driving home. It's like, oh gosh, I really fancy a jog. And it was like, but you know, now is the great time, because I got home, it was still light and it was like 5:30. And I was like, actually now is a really good time to get out and go for a little jog. Nothing too strenuous. But I think it's almost like 5:30 in January. If I wouldn't have had that thought, because I was like, it's dark, it's cold. I just want to go home and be warm.
100%. Or I don't want to leave the house.
Yes, I don't want to leave the house. I kind of have to leave the house because I have a clinic, but I do get what you mean. Sometimes you're like, do I have to go? Just want to
hibernate. You know, how can we transition out of the winter slowdown and regain that motivation?
Yeah, I think it's start where you're at. I always think that, you know, don't try and go from 0 to 100 because it's sunnier and we've got longer days. I think it's really important that you do what's right for you. So if we think about movement, you know, introduce it gradually. So for example, actually, I've not jogged before. This is probably a good example. I haven't jogged for months. So when I was like driving home the other day, I was like, actually, I'm going to do the 5K, Couch to 5K. Because I know that has been designed to take it slow. Because I think what people can do is go, right, it's gorgeous. Let's, you know, go all in and then get injured or get really exhausted because they've done too much and then sort of then don't continue. Whereas actually, if we can start slow, and this is the same for, you know, introducing balanced eating or, you know, bringing movement in, anything like that. Just start with where you're at and do 1%. There's this notion of 1%, like every day, you know, small changes consistently builds up to lasting change. So yeah, I would just say do that. Think about maybe bringing in some lighter meals, fresh, you know, thinking about what's in season at the moment. The best way to know what's in season generally is go to the supermarket and see what's got the British label on it. That's probably the easiest way of seeing what's in season. But, you know, bring in maybe some more leafy greens are really good. You know, your salad leaves. I think now the sun shines out, it feels a bit easier to start eating a bit of salad, or, you know, just adding an extra portion of veg to anything that you're doing. That's where frozen veg is quite useful. Look at your plate. If you feel, actually, I don't quite have enough veg, just get a handful of frozen veg, steam it and add it to your plate. And, you know, just think about actually bringing more fresh foods, yeah, veggies into your diet bit by bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you think it also helps to have some kind of table, something to work from? Like, you know, you put something together Monday to Sunday, what you're going to have for breakfast, yeah, or, you know, lunch, dinner, that kind of thing. Do you think that might help as well?
Meal planning, any sort of planning is brilliant, but especially for meals. So with meal planning, it's got lots of benefits because it reduces stress. And, you know, if we think about stress and the impact that has on so many things like blood sugar balance, on your sleep, an illness, you know, we've already had a season of coughs and colds, the amount of people that are like, I've been sick. And so we want to be reducing stress, but it helps reduce stress, food waste, saves you money. I'd always say with meal planning, because some people can feel it's quite overwhelming to do 7 days at once and to do all three meals at once. So I'd always say, again, it's that notion of start where you're at and add in. So if you feel that 3 days at a time is more beneficial, do that. Or if you feel that actually there's a certain meal of the day that you struggle with the most, a lot of people I talk with, it tends to be dinner. Well, actually then plan your dinners, because by the time you get home, you know, you want to make sure you've got something in the fridge that's going to nourish you, that you can chat together quite easily rather than just stopping at the supermarket on the way home and grabbing what's easy. So yeah, I'm a big fan of meal planning, or even with planning in things like when you're going to exercise or move your body. You know, treat it like you would meeting a friend for a coffee. Because that, or any, you know, any activity that brings you joy, even if it's just getting out for a walk, you know, if you struggle to get out for a walk at lunchtime, you know, book it in like you would a meeting.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I find you saying that, I went out for a walk at lunchtime. I'm working, but I thought, you know what? The sun was out. It was beautiful. And I thought, you know what? I'm going for a walk. And I went to the park. It's literally just down the road. Yeah. I went for a half an hour walk to the park. And it was gorgeous. It was absolutely beautiful. And then I walked back and I thought, you know what? That was so good.
Yes. It's so simple to do, though, isn't it? Because you don't need any specialist equipment. For most of us, I know I'm privileged to have a canal nearby. But for most of us, just a walk around the block or just getting away from screens for like 10 minutes can just make us feel so much brighter.
Absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Claire, thank you for that introduction into, you know, nutrition and the seasons. And I think you're totally right. I think taking it step by step, isn't it? You know, you're coming out of the winter season. You might have been, some people might have been comfort eating. We're all a bit guilty of it. I do it. Some, you know, it is what it is. And then it takes a little bit of time to come out of that to get into, you know, a better kind of way of eating, if that makes sense. And again, you made some good points before, not putting too much pressure in the beginning, maybe a few days trying, you know, you're eating well and healthy, and then you have your cheat day, you know, chocolate, burgers, everything.
Well, maybe not everything at once.
Not at once, no, I think I'm exaggerating. Yeah. But yeah, just kind of, you know, taking it step by step. How should we adapt our diets as we transition from winter to spring?
So, I guess it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier, thinking about what's in season. So, yeah, looking for the British flag on things. But at the moment, it's, you know, things like beetroot, cabbage, carrots, you know, broccoli, watercress. And it's bringing as much fresh ingredients as you can into your diet. So moving away from those sorts of heavy, lots of carbohydrates. I think we do tend to want more carbohydrates in winter, don't we?
Love carbohydrates. That's the problem.
I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just like, actually, let's just reassess. And one of the biggest things that I get my clients to do is actually balance their blood sugars. So when we talk about bringing more diversity in, especially with what's in season, a good way to do this is to look at your plate and think of your plate as half of it being veggies. So if you think about, yeah, your leafy greens that we've just talked about, and then a quarter being carbs. So whether that's, you know, rice or pasta or even starchy veg like your carrots and parsnips, and then a quarter protein. And then in that, obviously have some healthy fats as well. Now, when you eat that way, because everything breaks down at a different speed, so carbs break down quicker than proteins and healthy fats and fiber, then what you tend to find is that your energy stays more consistent and you don't find you're getting that, I call the safety officer coming out. So this, you know, when you've perhaps had a meal deal from a supermarket, you know, think crisps, sandwich, pop, and then you're hungry an hour or two later and you've usually got what I call the safety officer with the megaphone going, could you please eat right now? You get me? You get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we need a Clear app that comes on every few hours going, oh, make sure for lunch you don't do that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is just thinking, you know, actually in winter, because it's dark and cold, we probably are wanting to pick more of, like we say, the carbohydrates. So in those moments, say you do go to the supermarket and you're like, right, I'm going to get my sandwich, pop and crisp. Could you just go, right, actually, let's bring in something a bit fresher. Could I get some fruit instead of the crisps? Could I get some water instead of the pop? You know, and just really think, actually, how do I want to feel this afternoon? Just bring in sort of a bit more balance. And I think that'll help as well, as you know, you with your movement and exercise and, yeah, focus.
Kind of all goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe try an alternatives, like, for example, you know, you get like, you get your normal crisps off the shelf, but then you get crisps which are baked. You get some other ones which are, they're more healthy to eat in terms of compared to the normal crisps. I can't off the top of my head remember it right now. But chocolate, for example, you've got 70% cocoa onwards, which is meant to be really healthy.
Yeah, definitely. And they're all good switches. I would say with that, though, do be careful, because even switching to baked crisps, they're still carbohydrate. So if you've got like a sandwich and crisps, it's still actually, let's bring some fruit into that still. So if you want crisps, okay, maybe switch to baked, but then maybe get some fruit as well. Or a small yogurt, plain yogurt, ideally, because that's not got the extra sugar in it. Just think about, actually, how can I make this more balanced? So if you're like, but I love my crisps and I love my sandwich, well, what else can you tag on to make it a bit more balanced?
Do you know what, Claire? The reason why I'm smiling is because you've actually described what I do. So, for example, I like a fish burger once in a while. Yeah. I love a fish burger, right?
Yeah.
But I'll have salad with it.
Okay.
Like a bit extra salad, just to kind of... And sometimes, sometimes it'll be a fish burger and chips. And what I'll do is I'll have extra fruit afterwards. There'll be things I will do, or I might have a pizza.
Yeah.
Nice veggie pizza. But then what I'll do, again, I'll have fruits afterwards, or I might have some salad with it, just because it makes me feel better.
So, I mean, some of this stuff is not about, you know, having to completely deprive. But it could be, you know, when you've just talked about fish burger, instead of the chips, have a salad. Or if you have your pizza, have a smaller portion and put more salad on the side. You know, just bring that balance in, because you will feel better for it.
100%, and I do.
That's good.
With fresh produce becoming more available, I know you mentioned a few things, but let's go into a bit more detail. What are the best seasonal foods to focus on? Let's say for March.
So for March at the moment, we've got rhubarb. I mean, to be fair, most of us probably like rhubarb in a crumble, unless you're my husband and then he doesn't touch crumble. But actually, if you think about making rhubarb with some raspberries, so raspberries you can buy frozen or fresh. They are still from Europe at the moment, but you could make a compote. So you could reduce it down, maybe with a little bit of honey or maple syrup for a slight extra sweetness, because rhubarb can be a bit tart. And you could have that with plain yogurt. And if you think about it, instead of having like a fruit yogurt with lots of sugar. You've got things like beetroot. I love beetroot. I think it's an underrated vegetable. A lot of people don't like the earthy texture, though. But it does do well in a kind of brown chocolate brownie.
Or
a beetroot cake. But I love it roasted. I think it's absolutely fab roasted. We've got things like watercress. I don't know how you are with watercress. So
love watercress.
Are actually really good for digestion. So if you're coming out of winter feeling a little bit sluggish, you know, as you do, you can feel a bit heavy and a bit sluggish and maybe feeling like, your gut's off a little bit. Try some like bitter foods like watercress or rocket, maybe just before a meal, and that can help with digestion.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. And you're right, beetroot. I never used to like beetroot. I was one of those people.
Yeah.
But then I started to eat it more. And because when I visit my parents, my mum makes a beetroot. She puts it in like a salad and she does a few things and all the rest of it. But outside, I've had it in juice and I've had it I think hummus. They made a beet. I've had beetroot hummus.
Beetroot hummus. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it was lovely. And so you're right. It actually is. It is nicer to eat than people think. I think when people look at it, they think, "Oh, what am I going to do with that?" Do you know what I mean? But yeah. Actually, it tastes a bit juicy, a bit fruity, if you like, as well, doesn't it?
If it's cooked right. I mean, I think a lot of people are also used to the beetroot and vinegar. But actually, raw beetroot, you know, some people actually can find that. Just have a play around. You know, if you're not a big fan of the vinegar-based one, try some raw and roast it. Because as it roasts, it goes slightly sweeter.
As we go past March, let's get more exciting now. We're going to June and July.
Indeed.
What are we looking at there food-wise?
Later on, there's so much around, isn't there? As I love that about the UK, you know, we suddenly enter into like fruit. There's so much fruit about. If you think about berries, I am a bit of a strawberry snob.
I love strawberries.
I'll only eat them from the UK. I don't know. There's something for me. They taste funny out of season, so I can't eat them. I'm literally like, no, thank you. What else have you got? Cauliflower, broccoli, spring greens, summer squash, broad beans, chicory.
It's the works, basically, isn't it? It's getting exciting. Yeah.
We've got a farm shop nearby, and I just love going. And they've often got loads of like beautiful broccoli and purple sprouting broccoli and kale, and I get far too excited. Because it's just colour. I think it's actually seeing the colour is and recognising, you know, all these different colours are good for us. And one thing that you can do is kind of think about what have I eaten today and how many colours. You know, if you think about the rainbow, how many colours of the rainbow have I actually reached today? And if you find that most of it is white or beige, then just think, actually, how can I add more colour in? Is that, again, you know, I get an extra portion of veg, broccoli, you know, broccoli, cauliflower. Well, I mean, that's still white, but it's Brussels sprouts, yeah, leeks, just all these things. How can I just add in an extra portion of veg to what I'm doing? Peppers. I think peppers always like love the colours of peppers.
Oh, they're lovely. Yeah. Especially the pizza.
Especially, I mean.
I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Something else. But if you think about like with all the colours of fruit and veg, just think about the nutrients that's giving your body, the antioxidants, that just the benefits. Your gut thanks you when you're eating these different coloured fruit and veg.
Absolutely. Are there any specific foods or habits that can help with sluggish digestion that people often experience in winter?
Yes, definitely. So we've already talked about bitter foods. That's definitely something that can help. But there are more things that you can do for your digestion that I think a lot of us don't recognize that we're doing. So over winter, I mean, people might find this, they do this all year round anyway. You might have found yourself eating in front of the TV a bit more because
it's wonderful.
Perhaps a bit warmer to eat in front of the telly. So I'm going to say flip it on his head. You know, because when we watch TV and eat, we can sometimes eat quicker than our digestion likes. We can end up eating more because we're sort of not cued into like when we're full. And we can often we might overeat, we might eat too quickly, and then we might just feel a bit bloated after all of that. So some good tips to kind of transition into where you can sit at a table. I know not everyone has a table, but where you can sit at a table without distractions. Now the kids, unfortunately, I know they're a distraction, but I've sit with the kids and chat with them or your partner and chew. Let's think about the food that we're going to eat. So as we think about the food we're eating, that stimulates our digestive juices. Okay. So as you think about it, that gets everything going. And then as you start to eat, chew properly. Because as we chew, that means we're helping our stomach, our gut to kind of not do as much of the work. Because if you think about it, if we're not chewing very well, by the time it hits our stomach, our stomachs have to, like, and our intestines have to do more of the breaking down in order to get the nutrients that it needs. So if we can chew properly, take our time, and then when we feel about 70% full, actually stop. So that's why it's useful not to have distractions, because then you can kind of go, oh, is that, am I full? Because often if we keep eating, and when it's cold and we want to be like, we're, you know, hibernating, we do find that we want to eat just more. Whereas actually, if we slow down, take our time, enjoy our food, and then just recognize when we're full. And sometimes that does mean, which I, this is a challenge because I grew up in a household where it was like, you must eat what's on your plate. But I'm here to tell you, it's okay to leave food on your plate. You know, perhaps there's enough left for leftovers. Perhaps it is just a case of it's going in the food waste.
Because basically, I was reading something years ago, and apparently we are meant to take between, what, 20 to 30 seconds to chew food properly before it goes down. I'm guilty of, I'm well before that. We're talking maybe, I don't know, 5 seconds maybe. I don't even know. But, and I tried doing it, and it was... Yeah. It was not easy, and it's something you've got to practice. But you're absolutely right. You've got to. I think we've got to try chewing more, breaking the food down more, so we can digest it better.
Yes, and then you know that will help you not feel so bloated. It also helps the, you know, to absorb the nutrients that you need in a better way. And yeah, it also means you probably end up eating less. And that's where, you know, it depends also on what you're eating. So a lot of, if we think about ultra processed foods, have been designed for us to eat quickly.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Whereas a lot of, you know, if you think about fresh fruits, vegetables, fiber-based foods, it does take a lot of chewing, doesn't it?
100%. You know what? You're absolutely, I've noticed that loads in the last few years, because, you know, you get your really healthy raw food. You know, and I don't mean raw as in not cooked. I mean, like, you get your whole foods. You've got your veggies, you've got your fruits, you've got your meats or whatever that might be, fish, etc. And you'll just notice that you're taking, there's more effort. Whereas if you have something that's really processed or something a bit, you know, the comfort food as we like, it you just think, oh, this is all right, it just goes down. It's just it's easy to deal with.
Yes. And, you know, there's pros and cons to that, but I'd say cons.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely cons, you know. And then when you go back to the healthy eating, it's like, oh, gosh, this is a chore.
Precisely. And I think it is recognising, yeah, whilst, you know, it feels easy at the time, we've sometimes got to take a step back and go, actually, is this beneficial for me? And sometimes we do have to think about the long term a bit more.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, what's the role of movement in energy levels, and how can people find a routine that works for them?
So we aren't designed to be sedentary. And I think for a lot of us, we're sat for most of the day. I don't know about you, Gavin, but I know that I spend a lot of time at my laptop and I have been quite intentional about moving.
Yeah.
It's like anything in life, isn't it? The more we use it, the stronger it gets. And it's the same if you think about our hearts and lungs, you know, the muscles, they need to be moving to help with circulation, to help with strength. And so it's actually, how is it going to work for you? And a lot of this is about, you can tag on. So I like to listen to Dr. Chatterjee. I don't know if you've ever heard any of his stuff. And he talks a lot about, you know, doing squats when the kettle's boiling, or, you know, standing on one leg when you brush your teeth. And it's sort of movements. So it's not all about going to the gym. Sometimes it's about those like little movements that you can bring into your day. It could be that I'm going to park the car, you know, further away and walk that bit extra. I'm going to take the stairs instead of the lift. So that's sort of one way. It's like tag on. And then actually, if you want to do more, this is where planning is really useful. Treat it like you would a client meeting or a coffee with a friend, you know, and actually think about what is it that I actually want to do? You know, do I want to go for walks? Do I want to run? Do I want to swim? You know, whatever it is that you want to do, plan it in, but be realistic. Look at your diary and you go, actually, can I just get one workout in this week? So say you're like, I want to swim. I'm going to block out the time for one swim this week. So I think if we go, I'm going to go every day, we just get overwhelmed. So like book in that one swim and make it like a really, you know, that's it. I'm going to do it. Find something that works for you. Make it enjoyable. If you're someone that loves walking, just go walk like you did, you know, out to the park, Gavin.
Yeah.
I think people can underestimate walking.
Oh, walk is a superpower.
It is.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think we take it for granted. I think people, right, you know, we walk everybody, go for a walk, whatever, you know. But honestly, it regulates blood pressure. I know it's good for the immune system. Obviously, yeah. It's good for as a workout. And the thing is, when we're walking, we're working out our back and some other bits and pieces that we don't actually think about, you know?
And also, I think, you know, because it doesn't require any fancy equipment or training plans, you can just put on a pair of shoes and walk. And even if, you know, you don't have great mobility, you can still do a few steps and make, you know, take a break, do a few more steps. It's quite a straightforward thing for people to do.
Absolutely. I've just started to get back into swimming, and swimming, I can't stress how good swimming is. And it's not for long. I just go for maybe a 10-minute swim.
Yeah.
I started off with 5 minutes and I've just started increasing it because I'm getting back into it. I haven't been for a while. And I'm going to keep on increasing it. And that's an example of taking step by step.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing as a workout, you know?
Well, you know, it exercises quite a lot of your muscle groups. And actually, because of the water, you're quite supported. So it's great for those who, especially with joints, because things like running can be quite challenging on the joints, whereas swimming, you're quite supported. Obviously, and I think that's fantastic, Gavin, that you started with 10 minutes. That is definitely the best place to start. Do with what's comfortable. And then you can just add on, like you say, you know, tomorrow you can do, say you start with 10 lengths and then tomorrow or, you know, next week you can do 12 lengths. And it's just about making that step-by-step progress. I love cold water swimming. But for anyone who's not started, perhaps
don't. Yeah, I don't think we tried that. Yeah. I like the pool to be nice and warm, I'll be honest with you, Claire. I'm not into the cold swimming, yeah?
I quite enjoy the cold swimming, but I think it can be, this time of year actually tends to be colder. February, March is actually one of the coldest times of the year to do cold water swimming.
But cold water is actually really good for you, isn't it? It's really good for the body.
Yeah, it is. So it helps with, it helps a lot with the stress system. Because if you think about it, you're putting your body under an almost healthy stress, but you're learning how to manage that in the moment. So when you step into the water, or this is what I find anyway, your brain just kind of checks out because it's like, this is so cold, but you have to breathe through it. And as we know, breathing is really good for regulating the nervous system, calming ourselves down. So you're almost putting your body under this sort of stress, but then you're creating a way to help calm it down. And it's really good then in life to know, look, I can do this. I can put myself in cold water. And even if you do it for like 30 seconds or a minute, you know, and I can breathe through it. And that sort of can help you then with other situations where it becomes quite stressful. Your body can learn how to adapt to that sort of those stressful situations.
Absolutely. Claire, thank you for your time today. Always useful. Where can people find you if they need to your services, they want a bit of advice or anything like that?
Yep, so you can find me at nourish2soar.co.uk and at Instagram at nourish2soar and Claire Thomas on LinkedIn as well.
Could you just leave us with a few bits of advice for us about seasonal foods and just a few lines, if that's okay, just to help us end the show?
Of course. So here are my top three tips as we head into kind of spring. So I would say increase your water. We didn't talk much about hydration, but often in winter we don't hydrate. We drink more tea and coffee. So swap a tea and coffee with some hot water or just a glass of water. And if you can, go for a walk in the morning, a 10-minute walk. So that's really good to help with sleep and helps your energy levels. And then just think about swapping and bring in some more fresh food swaps. So think about what's in season. So, you know, we talked about watercress, leeks, cabbage, beetroot, just thinking about ways that you can add an extra portion to your meals this week.
Brilliant. Claire, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to your listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.